In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside Matt Modiga, it's Wall Street. Scott Angle, the King. I am Greg Sussman, CP, the fantasy executive, has the day off today. It's been a long draft season for the guy, so we give him a day off as he gets ready for week one of the NFL season, which began in earnest last night as Matt Modica had predictions go right, he had predictions go wrong. It was a wild Thursday night in the NFL. What's going on, Matt?
Oh, yeah, happy hunt day. It was a pretty awesome game to watch. There was some good, some bad, but Kareem killed it.
He certainly did. You didn't want to play. You know, Scotty sent his tweets where he tries to talk people off the ledge last night. I'm going to be honest with you, Scott. Did not work.
You know what, though? I'll say this before we even get into that. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you two guys this morning. Matt Modica, this guy's been trumpeting Kareem Hunt since baseball season. What a great call, a great way to start the season. It was exhilarating if you're a Kareem Hunt owner. And full credit to my colleague and my buddy here. I was telling Matt I wanted to call him at 11:30 last night. I was so excited, but he might have been sleeping. And you, sir, fine call on Tyreek Hill. This is why they brought you guys here, okay? As for talking people off the ledge, I've seen this before. Fantasy football games are neither won nor lost on Thursday night. Of course, there will be exceptions. If you had Gillislee, Hill, and Hunt in your lineup, you're probably going to win. But I remember a few years ago, Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdown passes on Thursday night, and a lot of his owners lost. Okay, so if you're behind, don't panic. If you're ahead, it's a good start, but you can't assume anything. It's one game. We got 15 to go.
It's very level-headed. Actually, we have 14 to go. That was very level-headed. Yeah, remember, the Bucks aren't playing this weekend.
Oh, yeah. We got 14 to go. I'm sorry. I'm so used to the full schedule in opening week.
It's okay. I understand. It's a very level-headed approach of you, Scott. And it's, you know, it's great analysis. It's objective. I'm going to sit here as, hold on, I'm going to sit here taking the other approach of someone that has played Kareem Hunt, and I'm very excited for week one of fantasy football season, and in my main leagues, I do not own Kareem Hunt, and as I said, not only did I play Kareem Hunt last night, but I sat in the room with the person I'm playing that owns Kareem Hunt, and I wanted to throw whatever was in my hand at the time and what's currently in my hand, I'd like to throw it through a window because I feel that 40 freaking fantasy points in night one by one player is not something I can just wake up on Sunday morning and come back from.
Have any of your players played yet?
No!
You're overreacting.
No, I'm not! Kareem Hunt was amazing!
That's one player in one game. Yes, it's good for the other team. It's a little bit demoralizing, but there's 14 games to go, and none of your guys have even played. If the rest of his team tanks, you still win.
Scott, it was a lot demoralizing, not a little bit demoralizing.
It's one player in one game, as good as it is.
At least the team you played didn't have Hunt and Gillislee.
That's a good point. We're going to get into
overreaction Friday.
It's not. This is a real reaction.
No, that's an overreaction.
No, you can tell me how to react.
It's an overreaction.
My father?
One player in one game.
We're getting to Kareem Hunt. We're getting to Mike Gillislee. We're getting the Patriots, the Chiefs. I'll talk about the prediction that Matt was even got incorrect when we come back here on the Rodo Experts.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
much to untangle from the Patriots and the Chiefs opening night.
Wow.
I believe they are... last year, Carolina beat Denver, right? They wound up beating Denver after like a very close game, if I can remember correctly. So I think they're the third now, the Chiefs, the third Super Bowl loser, a third non-Super Bowl winner to go win on opening night after Carolina, after the Giants lost a couple years ago, and now the Kansas City Chiefs have done it, beating the Patriots on Thursday, 42-27. Let's start with the good, right? With Kareem Hunt here, because again, I was playing Kareem Hunt this week, and he comes out his first carry, nervous as anything, looks awesome, he runs 10 yards, and then he has a bad fumble, right? Dude just has a really bad fumble, and I am sitting here, and I am screaming in joy, like cheering, sit him on the bench! Throw him on the bench! And I'm like, oh, and the problem is, I have owned so many Andy Reid running backs through the years, I know Andy Reid. He doesn't do that, right? He basically, you know, pats the guy behind and says, let's do this. Relax out there. Let's do this. And ultimately, that's what happened with Kareem Hunt. And the problem for me was, when Kareem Hunt came back out, there was no more of the fumbling. There's a lot more of the running for 10 yards over and over and over again. The final line for Kareem Hunt, 17 carries, 148 rushing yards, and a touchdown, and it didn't stop there. Receiving, 5 receptions for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was obviously as good of a debut as you could have hoped for Kareem Hunt. Everything that we said this preseason, this summer, about Kareem Hunt became true. He was a true bell cow running back. Like, I felt like no other Chiefs seemingly got rushes. Literally, Tyreek Hill had a couple. You had Sharkhandrick West have one and steal a touchdown after Kareem Hunt ran for 60 yards. And that was it, right? Like, that was literally it. It was Kareem Hunt's show, as we kind of expected it will be, ignoring the noise. And he dazzled. He looked unbelievable. And I remember I was sitting with somebody after I drafted like the Giants in a draft, and somebody drafted the Patriots defense right after me. Like, how did you not take the Patriots? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, maybe the Patriots won't have a great defense. And they were absolutely threaded last night by the gorgeousness of Kareem Hunt, a guy that if you drafted before Spencer Ware went down, you got him for a song in drafts, 6th, 7th, 8th round, as Matt could attest to, pretty much everywhere. And it was as unbelievable as a debut as we've ever seen in the NFL, as we've ever seen in fantasy football, as I mentioned, over 40 points, over 45 in PPR. It was just an unbelievable night, Matt, for Kareem Hunt. It could not have gone better other than the fumble, but it was unbelievable.
Well, as I stated earlier in the week when somebody tweeted out that this was going to be a running back by committee and stuff, that was fake news. Even when he fumbled, what was Andy Reid's other option? Kachanik West? I mean, look, even on the fumble, as you stated, he got like 9-10 yards. So ever since that point, he just looked the part. And what I want to take away from two is I'm looking on last night on Twitter, I'm seeing people now all of a sudden the Patriots defense is garbage. Last year, they allowed 15 points a game. That was number one in the NFL. Everybody pretty much had them as like a top five defense. They had a horrible night. Look, at the half, the Chiefs were down by 3 points. They should have been down by 3 touchdowns,
yeah,
if you watch that game. So, you know, credit to the Chiefs. Credit to Andy Reid as well. You just can't. Every time you want to count this guy out, he delivers. He wins games. And, you know, Hunt, as it was an awesome debut. I think Marshall Faulk and like Billy Sims were the only two to have a debut like that.
Yep.
So that's all great. Look, he's not going to score 46 points every week, but you're damn happy if you have him.
Yeah, and you know, he wasn't really nervous on the first carry. It was just a good play by the defense, punching the ball out. And the guy had never lost a fumble in college, and he came to the sidelines, and he was almost inconsolable, but his teammates, his coaches, they calmed him down, and he came out there and showed everything. He showed the vision. He showed the elusiveness. He showed the power. He showed the versatility. And then you credit Andy Reid, too, for recognizing Dont'a Hightower is really like a fulcrum of that defense. And when he went down, and you have Cassius Marsh, who's like a 4-3 backup defensive end in the past, on him, and then they send Hunt out on a wheel route. you know, that is just awesome, awesome play design. That, you know, just like tremendous play design. It was the best debut by a running back in 23 years since Marshall Faulk in 1994, like Matt alluded to. Again, it's overreaction Friday, though. If you're playing against Hunt, your game is not over. If you do have Hunt, you don't have a win in the bag because, you know, they have 11 guys on the other side to go. You may have 10 still left to go. There's also overreaction Friday, like Matt alluded to, in the NFL, that, you know, the Patriots are not going to go undefeated. That I saw one story this morning that the Chiefs have stolen the mantle from the Patriots as the AFC favorite right now. It's one game. The Patriots, when they won Super Bowl 49, lost in Miami 33-20 in the opening week. In week 14 of the 2014 season, everybody thought Tom Brady's career was over when the Chiefs destroyed the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you know, it's, as we said, just a remarkable debut for Kareem Hunt. It was everything he dreamed of and more, Matt. But it wasn't just the only unbelievable running back debut last night, because one of the main things we wanted to get out of Thursday Night Football was the Mike Gillisley usage and James White usage and Rex Burkhead usage and Deion Lewis usage. What to make of the Patriots running backs? And they come out in the first play, and there's Rex Burkhead. And I'm like, yeah! And they come out on the second play, and there's James White. And I'm like, yeah! And they get to the 10-yard line, and there's Mike Gillisley once, twice, three times. And then one time they got cute to give it to James White. And was like, why don't you just put Gillisley back there again? It's clear that Mike Gillisley is basically LeGarrette Blount 2.0. He is going to be the touchdown thumper, having three of them on Thursday night. 45 yards rushing, 15 carries. James White will play the James White role in this offense. I thought, and we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about the game plans, but they were doing this shotgun, five wide, no huddle thing. James White is all over the field doing his thing, and it's working fantastically. And they go away from it after, you know, the first 15 or 20 plays or so. And they never really went back to it until it was too late to the Patriots. I thought James White looked fine. I thought Mike Gillisley looked great. I thought Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead were, Matt, you know, non-entities.
Well, one thing, let's start with James White first off. I've been saying I think he receives the biggest bump with the Edelman injury. And I think you saw it last night. And maybe he scored just under 10 fantasy points for you. But look, if he's your third, fourth running back and he's getting 10 points a game, that's terrific. He had 39 rush attempts last year. He had 10 last night.
Yeah, what was cool about James White was you saw him play his role, but early on they got him involved running between the tackles. He wasn't even on the outside. They were giving the ball rushing because they wanted to show that every time James White's in, it's not necessarily a pass play. So they clearly were working on that last night.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's coming. He has the trust of Belichick and Brady right now, especially coming off of last season where he caught 60 balls, 500 yards receiving. Only Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson did that as well. So when you have the trust of a Hall of Fame coach and the quarterback, he has a defined role. It's not Deion Lewis is on the roster because he is talented.
He's a kicker,
but he's too cheap to cut as well. There's no reason to cut him.
Sure.
It's not like he... But Gillisley got the role. We all thought he would. He did miss those 2 weeks of camp, which did take people off of him. He did drop in drafts. But on the flip side, the Rex Burkhead, there are things to take away. Burkhead was targeted. He almost made a great catch down the field on a wheel route, I believe. Also was targeted in the end zone. So I think this guy's going to have a role. I've been stating all summer long, I want to have parts of the Patriots running backs. You know, you're not going to get all the Gillisley. Burkhead was so cheap for so long. You know, it's a long season. And, you know, the Patriots are going to score a ton of points. They're going to get, last night, Gillisley's not going to rush for three rushing touchdowns every week. But the Patriots are going to score a lot of points this year. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity. And you always take volume over efficiency.
And excellent point we were talking about. Starting means absolutely nothing. Deion Lewis started and was the least involved running back last night. This is a total committee. You saw James White running on the inside, catching passes on the outside, Burkhead involved. It's going to be unpredictable week to week, but what you do know is that Mike Gillisley is clearly taking over that LeGarrette Blunt role.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw some really good tweets about it last night.
The only thing you know for sure.
I saw some really good tweets about it on Thursday night, and it was basically saying that we talked ourselves, we were so on, you know, Mike Gillisley, and then we talked ourselves out of Mike Gillisley, and we should have talked ourselves back into Mike Gillisley. And that was kind of the roller coaster we went on here this summer. But you're right, Scotty. The only thing we know for sure, Mike Gillisley has his role, James White has his role, and Kareem Hunt, well, he's really effing awesome. When we come back, we'll talk about the other players from Thursday night's game, Patriots and Chiefs. That's up next on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We are back here on the Roto Experts of the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network, breaking down Thursday night's matchup between the Patriots and the Chiefs. And I want to go into something else we talked about yesterday. We talked about Matt's fantastic call with Kareem Hunt. I'll talk about Tyreek Hill for a few moments, because Tyreek Hill, as explosive as he looked last year, all he did was just do it again. He was using a variety of roles in the backfield, and Andy Reid made sure to force the ball to him. We had said yesterday, Scotty, that Travis Kelce was going to be the one that was trying to be taken out by the Patriots, and he was, for the most part. I know Andy Reid worked in a couple of carries to him and tried to force him the ball, but for the most part, the Patriots did a nice job taking Travis Kelce out of his game. They were not able to do the same with Tyreek Hill. He looked explosive until he left the game with cramps early fourth quarter, and he shot out of a cannon and scored a bomb touchdown. We saw two monster long Alex Smith touchdowns on Thursday night, and he just looked absolutely fantastic. You know, he seems unguardable at the moment, Tyreek Hill. I don't think he's the wide receiver one, but he's somebody that has his big playability that we've seen repeatedly, right? Like, at some point, it's not a fluke, right? It's not like Ted Ginn having a big game necessarily. It's not like you're hoping for one big play to Marquise Goodwin or something like that. Tyreek Hill has shown week after week these big plays happen. And I know, yes, last year, for instance, we were waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it never did. And I think here this year, maybe he's not having a 75-yard touchdown every single week, obviously, but this is a team that is going to rely on his big play ability to be successful. We saw that last night. Tyreek Hill did it again with 7 for 133 and a touchdown.
Look, give credit where credit is due. Good call by you. And, you know, good play design. I don't know where Stephen Gilmore was on that play. It looked like a blown coverage to me. And, you know, that's all you need is one blown coverage. It's like Matt Modica talks about Travis Benjamin going against Denver. One blown coverage, you know, and that guy scores. Even against the best, it happens. You know, I've seen Kenny Stills get wide open against the Legion of Boom, and, you know, if he didn't drop the ball, he had a 69-yard touchdown. So it happens. You give credit where credit is due. Look, I still think Hill's going to have his up and down.
Sure.
Critics of Hill will say, you take away that 75-yard touchdown, what did he do? I don't believe in that. You don't take it away. I hate when people say that.
Well, hold on. Let me answer that question.
Yeah.
Let me answer that question for you, right? If you take away his 75-yard touchdown run, 133 minus 75 is what? Is 60?
He has like 63 yards.
So he had about six for 60, it would have been.
Yeah, but we're not talking about him in the same kind of way. No, if he doesn't have a touchdown.
We are saying in a PPR, he would have had 12 points.
Yes,
which, by the way, isn't nothing.
That's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
That's acceptable.
So you're taking away, he's not 12 points.
That's acceptable.
So it wasn't a zero.
That's acceptable. But you know what? I'm not the one who said, I hate when people say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving credit where credit was due for Tyreek Hill. Good play design. They have to do it. You know, as Chris Collinsworth pointed out a million times, you know, this guy has a background as a running back, and he beat the defense a variety of ways. The difference for Kansas City this year, though, you knew that New England was going to try and take out both Kelce and Hill. But the secondary guys, most notably Kareem Hunt, stepped up in a way that, like, is just legendary. This team has always had really good running backs. You have Jamaal Charles. You got Larry Johnson. You go back to Priest Holmes. It's tradition with the Chiefs to have a really good running back. But the way that Kareem Hunt could beat a defense in a variety of ways opened things up. Plus the fact that, you know, forget the Dont'a Hightower loss. This defense looked better on paper, but, and I said they look even better, you know, et cetera. It's got to take time to gel, too. So, you know, this defense is not going to be as bad as it was last night. Everybody's overreacting this morning. The Patriots have stumbled before, but, you know, we're talking about Tyreek Hill here. And, look, I still think he's not a fantasy wide receiver one. There's going to be games where he's going to get shut down. He's going to be inconsistent. But it was a hell of an opener if you had him.
Yeah, and look, the Patriots, on both sides of the ball, it went bad, as I stated. That first half, they should have been up with a sizable lead. And as you mentioned, they came out of the gate with the up-tempo. They were moving the ball, and for some reason, they went away from that. Tyreek Hill, I have zero shares, maybe one or two somewhere. But it wasn't a guy I was paying a third-round price for. But he is electric, and I'm wrong on that. I'll admit it. Day one, I'm wrong on it, even though he'll have inconsistent games. Look, everybody's going to have inconsistent games. But that talent is just terrific. One of the most impressive things I took away from last night was the Alex Smith. Look, he was wide open, Hill.
Yeah.
But Alex Smith dropped that was a laser. That was a beautiful pass, deep pass. And where was this? Like, where was this last year when Tyreek Hill was running? And there's another stat on in primetime games. In his brief career, Tyreek Hill's got like a half a dozen touchdowns. It's pretty crazy. Look, the Patriots will bounce back. They're not going 16-0, like I said. but yeah, no, you
that was a prediction you got wrong yesterday.
You had to be impressed. And another thing I tell people, if Chris Hogan's out on your waiver wire, go get him. And Danny Amendola got concussed. They got Brandon Cooks. They got Chris Hogan. Who's the guy from the Colts? Philip Dorsett. Malcolm Mitchell was put on the IR. And look, Rex Burkhead might have a crazy hybrid role if these receivers keep going down.
Yeah, so let's talk about Danny Amendola, who you mentioned, for a moment. We've been trying to figure out who replaces Julian Edelman. And we sat here as we watched Chris Hogan go off in the 6th and 7th round. On one day, we all had our drafts. He literally basically went off in the 6th and 7th round each and every draft we saw. And Corey was bewildered. I was stunned. And you're basically, Matt, like, well, this is the price that he's going. This is the price. It is what it is. It's the price. You're not saying it's right, but that is the current market price. And last night, Chris Hogan did nothing. Absolutely, utterly nothing. Danny Amendola was the one that filled in the Julian Edelman role. And we were talking about this really, really, really detailed and descriptively during the break, that Danny Amendola fits the Julian Edelman role really, really well, except one of the major things that he cannot do as well as Julian Edelman is take the hit. Now, you could argue that, all right, he can't find a space as much as Julian Edelman. He's not as shifty as Julian Edelman. That's fine. Those are all, to me, argumentative points, and it is what it is. He's good enough in that spot, but Scott, it was clear last night, he was going to fill that role. He had over 100 yards receiving on 7 receptions, and he left in the third quarter. And ultimately, he looked really, really good playing a role we were accustomed to seeing as a slot wide receiver in this Chiefs offense. It was not Chris Hogan. It was Danny Amendola, but the problem is, and I'm not saying I could do this or any of us could do this, but to be able to take the hit after hit after hit like Edelman can and pop right back up is an art form. It's a talent, and it's really, really effing brave. And Danny Amendola is just not built for that, as we saw him leave the game once again on Thursday night.
Yeah, and even before he left the game, you know, he lost a fumble on a big hit,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Amendola, look, has a lot of the sprinkle, if you will, to play in the slot. You know, he knows how to, he knows how to get open. He's got Brady's trust. You know, like we said during the break, though, Edelman doesn't. I think Edelman is also more shifty with yards after the catch than Amendola is. I think he makes people miss, and that's how you preserve yourself in the open field. I think that's a talent that, and like I said all along, I said you can't just replace Edelman with one guy. It was clear that the Patriots did miss Edelman. As far as Hogan, I feel like you know, maybe on the outside that, like, he'll get more looks now. But to me, I think he's still a big boomer bust guy. I'm not high on Hogan. Last year I was wrong. You know, this year I think he was overrated and he's going to be inconsistent. He'll have some big games, but I think Brady's going to really spread the ball around a lot.
Well, see, I don't think you were that wrong on Hogan last year. It was just the usage. And if you look at the numbers and when he played, the average yards and all that stuff, pass attempts to him, and it was really good. I mean, the guy was good. And I think it's going – I think he's a guy that I would look – if I'm in a trade league, I look to acquire for nothing. The owner's probably like, ah, this guy's crap. So – he's going to be involved in this offense. The Patriots are going to step away from this game. They got 10 days to go. And whatever that line is come week two, bet the Patriots because somebody's going to feel a lot of pain.
Yeah, it's New Orleans. It's New Orleans, which is going to be a wild one.
Yeah. I mean, look, Brady's got to get a lot of the blame last night. Opening play, when he had Dwayne Allen wide open. That was a horrible pass.
You know what, to remind me on that Thursday night, you know, it reminded me of the Super Bowl against the Giants where he missed Welker and it was a bad pass. He overthrew him and Welker looked back and he couldn't bring it down. It was the same thing with Dwayne Allen. It was the same look from Dwayne Allen where he just could not bring it down. He was wide open. It did not happen on Thursday night. But Brady does deserve a lot of the blame. I thought Josh McDaniels deserves a lot of the blame also. I know we've talked about this, Matt. The game plan was just so strange to us because they came down and they were mowing him down, spreading him out, and they were moving easily. I got the Kareem Hunt turnover. And we'll say this for Mike Yosley. He punched it in three times, but on 2 4th-and-1s, he got stuffed.
Yeah, you know, he got stuffed. And just going back to Amendola real quick, after the Edelman injury, I pointed out one of Brady's first interviews when he was asked about
Amendola.
Trust.
He mentioned Amendola
on Instagram.
When he was asked about trust, the first name out of his mouth was Amendola. But as we just stated, it's can he ever stay healthy? It doesn't look like that. It really, you know, he's just going to get too beat up. And the Patriots right now are very thin at wide receiver. Very thin. Brandon Cooks looks great. They got to get him. They got a scheme to get him the ball more.
Yeah, I think Chris Hogan, this is the thing, he's going to become more of a matchup-based play than someone you're going to be able to rely on every week, which ultimately, Matt, is not someone you want in their 6th or 7th round. We'll come back. We'll continue talking more about the Patriots and the winning 1-0 Kansas City Chiefs. We'll come back. We'll talk about Rob Gronkowski. That comes your way next. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So back here now on the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And let's talk about both Rob Gronkowski and Brandon Cooks here for a moment. When you look at the box score, if you're just waking up and you didn't watch extensive highlights, you know, big ups to you, Scott, because you didn't watch extensive highlights. You watched the entire game. I saw you tweeting about this last night. I was like, oh my God. He's up. He's awake. He's watching. He's in.
What would be wrong with catching extensive highlights, though?
But you know that feeling you had last night when you were exhilarated?
The feeling, but
that's the difference.
But you know what, though? You watch extensive highlights, you're still prepared to do this show.
You know what? It's not the same as watching the game. It's just not.
We can't always catch the full game.
I understand that. I understand
during
that.
During the preseason. During the regular season, I catch every single game.
I'm not criticizing you. Yes. I'm just saying there is something to be said for watching the game.
You feel like you're in the flow, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You feel like you're in the flow, and that's what you can't get from watching extensive highlights. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
When it comes to Rob Gronkowski, though, I think if you look at the box score, you would lose a lot. Or you look at extensive highlights, you would lose a lot. Because 2 catches for 33 yards is terrible, obviously. Eric Berry was all over him until it seems like Berry tore his Achilles tendon, which is brutal for that guy. But Gronk, there's a couple takeaways you can have, right? You can have the takeaway, dude was inches away from getting a man's touchdown, right? So, like, that's like, okay, he's Gronk. You could say he looked as strong as he has in years. Okay, fine. I could buy that, too. But you could also say, Matt, that on Thursday night, Rob Gronkowski, yeah, he was bottled up by Eric Berry and the Chiefs, obviously. But he looked really slow to me. He looked lumbering. Again, strong as ever. Abilities to make really tough catches, just like he always has. But he was not nearly as explosive as I thought he would be. He took a big hit, limped off, came back on. I'm really happy that I have zero shares of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I mean, Gronk's a beast, but, you know, he's suffered so many injuries. And look, he did have Eric Berry on him. Eric, you know, this immensely talented guy that was covering him. And if he makes that catch, we're looking at it a bit different.
I don't know that I am, in all honesty. So, because that play, it, I mean, it's a, you know, 20-yard or 30 or whatever it was, a big touchdown. He looks like Gronk, which is true. And I'm giving that. I'm giving that to him. I'm ignoring the stats. I'm only telling you what I saw from watching the game. And that was simply that he looked almost like a little, not nervous, but he just didn't seem
a little hesitant.
Hesitant. That's a perfect word. He seemed a little hesitant to me. Not that he's just scared to use his body, because he used that big body well. He made an awesome catch that wasn't in the end zone, but he seemed hesitant last night to me.
Yeah, but he's still going to be that red zone target as long as he's on that field. I get you. I took some of that away myself. You know, I just, getting back to that earlier point, they looked so good early.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't get why they went away from that. It just didn't seem to make sense. They had the Chiefs on the ropes. And like I said, I tweeted it out at halftime. I said, it's the Chiefs are only down 3 points. They should be down 3 touchdowns. The Patriots had chances to put them away. And it was interesting, that first time on fourth down, when they got stuffed, the second time they had like a 4th and 1 or 4th and inches, they went for the field goal. I kind of think the Patriots needed to make a statement there and go for it again.
Yeah, I didn't quite take away that he was nervous or anything like that.
I didn't mean nervous. Hesitant was the right word.
I don't think he was hesitant or anything like that. I think it was just good coverage, good defensive design, Eric Berry, and the fact that even though Brady had all this time to throw, like I said, they were probably going to play a lot of nickel and dime coverage. Brady wasn't accurate last night, so I take away defensive coverage and Brady's play. I really don't think that, you know, a lot of it was on Gronk, his performance, and he could easily bounce back. I agree with Matt. He catches that touchdown. We're talking about him a little bit differently.
Potentially. Like I said, I'm happy that I have zero shares because he seemed lumbering to me last night. You know, it's just my takeaway from the game.
Oh, I just want to make one point. Watching the Chiefs tight ends in that first half, Harris got the touchdown. They got another guy named Travis. I mean, these guys had more had catches before Travis Kelce. But I was thinking of Mike Cardona in the 3 tight end rotation, so he must have been enjoying that.
Let's talk about Brandon Cooks from Thursday night here for a moment. Now, Brandon Cooks' line would look a whole lot different. He was able to get in the end zone as well. 3 receptions, 88 yards, seven targets. And it looked like Marcus Petrie kind of took a side away from Brady and the Patriots. Cook still did manage the monster 54-yard reception. Had a chance in the end zone. He couldn't come down with it either. He was dragged down, so it really wasn't his fault. But he couldn't come down with it either. And ultimately, I look at Brandon Cooks as someone, and same way I look at Rob Gronkowski in a way, in that as more and more Patriots weapons go down, other ones are going to have to step up. I think Brandon Cooks is fine, but Scotty, one of the negatives that people had when drafting Brandon Cooks was that he's going to have games where he has 3 receptions, a lot of yards, but it's going to be minimal receptions. He's not going to be one of these wide receiver ones that you're going to have 10 receptions on the regular, right? It's going to be so more of these up and down and up and down, and I think that's what people kind of feel when it comes to Brandon Cooks, and last night was no exception.
I also feel, though, if Amendola's concussed and how much time he will miss, I think there were certain looks early in the game that kind of showed that Cooks can catch those shorter routes and they may have to depend on him more. I think if Amendola's lost, I think it benefits Cooks more than it does Hogan. The narrative was there last night. He caught the big play. Yeah, the first completion was to him, though. I think it's just a matter of working with Brady more throughout the regular season.
Look, if Cooks comes down with that catch where he was totally molested, that was, I mean, that was
amazing.
Blatant pass interference. Mm-hmm. He makes that catch, and he's got a crazy line, and he drew a lot of penalties.
He was, listen, so, I, you know how I said Gronk was hesitant? Brandon Cooks wasn't hesitant. You know, he looked as fast as ever. He looks bright. He looked fun. I have no issue with Brandon Cooks. I'm just pointing out what people didn't like about Brandon Cooks in the summer isn't necessarily untrue.
Well, that's why when I heard a promo on another station where some respected analyst is saying, you know, Brandon Cooks doesn't warrant his second round pick because he's not going to get 140 to 150 targets. Brandon Cooks has never gotten 130 targets, and the last 2 years from weeks 1 to 16 was the number 12 and the number 7 overall wide receiver in PPR. So that's just foolishness right there. Brandon Cooks gets it done. He doesn't need the volume. Maybe now if Amendola goes out, he's going to see even increased volume. I want Cooks. If I can go out and get Cooks today, I'm going to try it. Look, that Patriot receiving core right now is super, super thin. And if Amendola goes down, I think Burkhead is going to see a lot more of him being used. And Hogan's best used on the outside.
Correct.
Not on the slot.
And that was incredibly frustrating to me when it came down to him going the 6th and 7th round, people screaming that he's going to replace Edelman. That is not the kind of receiver Chris Hogan is. It's never been the kind of receiver Chris Hogan is.
No.
So when people are screaming that Chris Hogan is going to replace Julian Edelman because he's white, it was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's about you have to know the roles and the schemes. You know, he's just not that type of player. He's more of a downfield type of player. Yes, he can make a clutch catch on a key down, but you can't pepper him consistently. He's not made for the slot. He's not that type of guy. I don't know if I'm giving him a big bump if Amendola's out because, and again, it's like I've been saying all along, you can't replace Julian Edelman with one guy. But, you know, Amendola, I think, took a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
But
then he got hurt.
But you knew it was predictable that, unfortunately, that he was going to get hurt. And even if he's in there, Amendola's still not Edelman.
I'm telling you, Burkhead is the guy to get. He really is. Because at some point, he's going to have a really big role, whether it's Amendola going down, if something ever happens to Gillislee. You know, I'm not saying he's the guy you're going to be starting anytime soon, but he's a guy you want on your bench. There's a possible great opportunity awaiting this man.
So I'll say this, that the Patriots keep losing players. We saw Malcolm Mitchell go on the IR before the game. Chris Hogan really didn't do that much. Danny Amendola gets concussed. Philip Dorsett is a horrible football player. With that being said, I understand what you're getting at when it comes to Rex Burkhead, right? And Rex, What are you confused about?
How can we say Philip Dorsett's a horrible football player when he just came over like less than a week ago and really is like still learning the playbook, et cetera?
Oh, very easily. Have you watched extensive highlights on Philip Dorsett over his NFL career where he's been a horrible football player?
So you're needling me again about extensive highlights because I'm prepared?
Scott, I'm making a joke that you're calling me out for calling Philip Dorsett a horrible football player where I've watched 3 years of his career in Indianapolis and they're all – one was worse.
Brandon LaFell, before he came to New England, let's give Philip Dorsett a chance to get involved and see what he can do or can't do before we say he's a horrible football player.
Can I interject 1 second to something that I thought was
– Is it about Philip Dorsett?
No, it's not about Philip Dorsett because what I found was bizarre last night. Was Chris Hogan had three rushing attempts.
Same as Matthew Burkhead, right? Or a little bit more.
Yeah, that was and Travis exactly. Kelce kept getting inside pitches.
So I appreciated what the Chiefs were doing, right? Because Travis Kelce was covered so well, they wanted to get Kelce involved. So I didn't care how they were doing that. Chris Hogan thing was really, really strange when you already have four running backs. That was like getting too cute for your own good, I thought. But anyway, when it comes to the Patriots, I think you want to own guys that are going to be around. And I think that Rex Burkhead fits that. And I think the reason that Rex Burkhead's good is because people could drop. I don't think people are going to drop Chris Hogan after Thursday night. I think they will consider doing it to Burkhead.
I'll be bidding on Chris Hogan in the leagues he's available back in July,
right
before he was going drafted. I'm going to bid, and I'm going to bid a nice amount. I'll say that. So I think there's going to be a role for this guy, and as wide, they don't have many wide receivers, and he was good last year, put in the proper role. And I think the Patriots, we will see this year too. I think the vertical pass will become part of their game. It will become even more emphasized. So
Yeah.
It was week one.
They looked really good on those first two drives.
They did.
Brady had a lot of time to throw, was using play action, but just wasn't accurate after the first two drives.
Not at all. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll give our final thoughts and opinions and takeaways from Thursday night football between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots in the next hour. I will start getting into all the other breaking news. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning. On your way. Next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Cut up at a little bit. Mike Blewett will join the program starting at the top of the hour. We'll get some final takeaways, thoughts, opinions from the Chiefs and the Patriots Thursday night, Scotty.
Just some interesting things. I was checking out my leagues last night. I'm in 9 this year, and I was talking about whether you're going against or with Hunt. I have Hunt in 5 leagues. I'm going against him in 2. But the more interesting thing to me was I did a live chat on rotoexperts.com for exclusive Edge members. I do it every Thursday at 7. And, Maddie, so many people were not sold on Kareem Hunt. People were saying, I got stuff like Kareem Hunt or Amir Abdullah more than once. It's just like they don't know enough about Hunt. And we were talking about mainstream players here, a lot of our subscribers who make us who we are. It just like, you know, they like pick 4, and like it was Hunt and 3 out of the guys who were nowhere even close. And I'm typing to these people in capitals, Kareem Hunt is a must start. There are a lot of people who are not anywhere near convinced on Kareem Hunt going into last night.
Yeah, somebody asked me on Twitter, Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook. I told him to start Dalvin Cook. So,
well, I mean, Kareem, look, Dalvin Cook hasn't played yet. Dalvin Cook is playing.
But he's not getting 45 points.
He hasn't played yet,
maybe not this week. Or, you know, he's facing the
Saints. It could happen.
But I do like Dalvin. I have them right with each other. I mean, look, the thing with Kareem Hunt is he got overlooked a lot because he played at a small school. His talent was there if you did a deep dive into it. But more importantly, with fantasy football, it becomes opportunity. But systems, and the Andy Reid system for the RB1 produces almost like 20 fantasy points.
I'll tell you, I will tell you what. Do you know whose system also produces fantasy points for the RB1? We'll talk about that next hour.
Who are we going with?
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Carlos Hyde has always been talented. That's never been the issue. It's been more about health, and we've been saying it all summer. It was propaganda. I mean, I was
fake news.
I was told, well, it's a reliable source. I'm like, look, I don't believe it. I mean, why would that guy ever get cut? That was just insane.
Speaking of getting cut, the whole committee thing. CJ Spiller got cut again yesterday.
Yeah, that's why I said it the other day. That RBBC, whatever you want to call it, that was pure fake news. And if you were panicking about that, I mean, look, do you believe everything you hear? Do you believe everything you read?
You can't. You can't do that. You have to make your own observations, and that's kind of what we're doing from Thursday night. And that is that the Patriots, they're going to score a lot of points. They're going to be fine, ultimately. The defense may not be as good as it's cracked up to be, despite the additions of Stephon Gilmore.
I think they'll fix that, too.
I'm sure they will. I'm just saying that, you know, they're not going 16-0, as some people at this table predicted.
Yeah, no, okay. That's fair enough.
You'll take that one.
You know what?
I'll be more than happy to admit when I'm wrong. I said to Tyreek Hill, there's a share or two I own somewhere. I don't even know about that. But after watching him last night, I wish I had a hell of a lot more.
Let me tell you something. I don't follow CTM Baseball on Twitter.
Really?
Let me finish my sentence. What, are you filling in for Corey today?
I don't follow
CTM Baseball to know what the Patriots' record is. I follow CTM Baseball for Alex Wood and Kareem Hunt predictions.
What are you just following? You defend him when I come out?
Yeah. He deserves it. This is totally Matt Modica week. Yes.
It's Matt Modica
week.
Why?
Yes, because Kareem Hunt.
Oh, my God. Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. This is the guy. All right. And then we're going to play as Matt Modica winning later this morning.
Wait a minute, Scott. You won last week, and you're still kissing his ass. It's a remarkable.
I am puckering up this morning. This man called the shot.
It's a promo cut right there. Yeah. He's puckering up. Just saying.
I did draft him.
He says he's not afraid to admit when he's wrong.
In the sixth round.
He did.
I am not afraid to admit when somebody is right. And you too, Tyreek Hill, I'm puckering up for you.
He got the Patriots thing wrong, is all I'm saying.
You can't get them all right. Most fantasy experts are right 55% of the time.
That was Dave. That was
Dave. That was Dave. We'll come back. Mike Vliet will join the program. Throwback Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.